That's right, it's the final whistle, Pitchside back with a brand new episode, and this one is going to be particularly special because we've got hold of the 2019 Singapore Premier League champion and head coach of Brunei DPMM. Adrian Penop joins us on the call. Adrian, it's fantastic to be in conversation with you. How are you?
Oh, very well, thank you. It's my pleasure as well. Great to speak to you as well. Really looking forward to having a chat with you.
Well, that depends on the questions I'm about to ask, but we know you'll speak candidly and from the heart. Yes. We're quite excited for it. First things first, Adrian, back in the Singapore Premier League after a bit of an exemption, shall we say. How good does it feel to be back amongst the big boys, shall we call it?
Oh, it's great. I'm loving it. Absolutely loving it. You know, it was a 3 years, long 3 years to be out, to be fair. But we all love football, you see, and it's all we love to do. And I'm in a very fortunate position where, obviously, when I was younger, I played football and I was getting paid to play what I love to do. And now I'm getting paid that I'm still in football. And so to come back in after 3 years, after that pandemic, and obviously the world is shut down. We know that. But it's just great to be back and really enjoying it. And obviously back in Singapore Premier League, it's a fantastic country. It's just very pleasing to be back and back on that touchline.
I can imagine after spending so long in Exodus almost, it's good to be back. Just for the context of the listeners, talk us through those 2-3 years in the pandemic. How difficult was it to be, you know, isolated like that?
It was very difficult because my family, my wife, I've got a big family. I've got a wife and 5 children, 6 grandchildren. So I've got a very big family. I've got a lovely television now, Rashan. So no more children. It was very tough. Obviously, we played our first game in 2020, obviously against, it was Hougang, I think it was, in which we won 2-0. And then obviously the pandemic hit. We didn't know what to do. We didn't really know what to do. And obviously that was the whole world. It wasn't just here at DPMM. I've got to say, though, Brunei government really done ever so well. They shut down it very quickly. Obviously, for a good 7 months, we didn't do anything. It was about 4 or 5 months. We didn't do anything at all, completely shut down. We had to stay in, our apartments here. And obviously, me being alone here in my apartment, it was very tough. But the rules are rules. It was a horrible situation to be in. Obviously, I was worried with my family back home in England. And football took a back step, obviously. Football is not important when things like this happen. Families are more important than anything else. And then after 5-6 months, we got told, we can go back training, but only in groups of five, with no ball, for 30 minutes. And that was a funny situation, really. But again, it was just nice to be out the apartment. I was walking around, obviously, outside in the getting a little bit of fresh air for half an hour a day. But a lot of Netflix, a lot of other films to watch and everything else. And then it went to groups of 10 after another month. And then we heard that we weren't going to go back into the Singapore Premier League. So, like I say, football's on the back burner. You know, it was a horrendous situation to be in for the whole world. But we dealt with it. And like I said, Brunei government was fantastic. I thought they dealt with it really well. The following year, we got told we weren't going to play in the Singapore Premier League. So we were going to play in our local, the Brunei Super League, which, again, it was great to be on the touchline. But all due respect to the league, it was a case of, you know, we were winning 15-0, 20-0, 18-0. I didn't enjoy it, I'll be honest with you. But it was nice to be out, but it wasn't football in my eyes. You know, it was obviously too easy for everybody. And that's no disrespect to Brunei Super League. But then we were top of the league on goal difference. There was two of our teams together, but we had loads of goal difference, miles ahead of everybody else. But we had 6 or 7 games left, and then obviously the second pandemic hit, the second phase of it hit. So then I said to my management here and His Royal Highness the Crown Prince, because I had a feeling that this was going to be shut down longer, and I didn't want to be here on my own for another 7-8 months, because we didn't know what was going on. So they were kind enough to let me go back to England, And I was back there for, like I say, like a year and a half, 2 years. And then came back, obviously, in 2023 at the beginning of Singapore Premier League. It's been a very strange 3 years. But like I said, very pleased to be back on the touchline and back in the Singapore Premier League and back at this football club.
Now, just listening to you take us through those 2-3 years of the pandemic, it's so dark, right? I'm glad we've seen the back end of it. And it seems like we're moving on. A big part of that is Brunei coming back to the Singapore Premier League. You talk about spending that time away in perhaps keeping competitive and keeping close to your family and stuff like that. I want to zoom into your return to the Singapore Premier League. Since you've arrived, have you seen any stark difference in the league in terms of quality or the other teams that have come leaps and bounds in the 2-3 years?
Yes, it's got stronger. It's got stronger, and I think that we've got weaker. And that's no disrespect to DPMM. We came back pre-season, and it was just different. When I was back home in England for the year and a half, DPMM were playing in the Brunei FA Cup here, which they won, which is great. But again, they're winning 15-0, and you know, the training is different to my training. Obviously, the games are totally different to Singapore Premier League games. And it was just 3 years of not playing, competitively. Obviously, they were playing, but it wasn't competitive like the Singapore Premier League or the Malaysian League or Indonesian League or, you know, the Thailand League. Like I said, I don't want to disrespect the Brunei Super League or the Brunei FA Cup too much, but there is a big difference between the Singapore Premier League and the Brunei Super League. And I saw a difference. As soon as we had a pre-season in Thailand, and I said to the management and my coaches here that this is going to be a tough season because it was like the fitness levels weren't the same. It was just completely different. And first game against Lion City Saints, people would ask me, oh, you know, you're one of the favourites to be the champions this year again. And I said, and I, all due respect, I just said, no, we won't be. I could see us win, lose, draw, win, lose, draw, win, lose, draw. And that's, unfortunately, don't get me wrong, I want us to win, 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 win. But that is, my feeling was exactly what I thought. And also, obviously, with the other obstacles in the way, on top of everything else, obviously, the management told me that our stadium is not ready and we have to play most of the games in Singapore. I thought that obviously that'd be another obstacle that we have to get over.
We'll talk about the stadium not being ready and having to shift to Jalan Besar in a short while. But I just want to talk about you saying it was always going to be a season of consolidation almost just to find your feet again. Yes. From a casual observer's point of view, round two, early days yet, has gone slightly better than round one did in terms of performances, maybe not necessarily results, but again, results slightly better. Would you agree with that assessment that you're going to grow as the season goes on?
Yes, I said that if you look at the interviews I had at the beginning of the season, I said the first 5-6 games of the season, fitness is different to match fitness. You know, we can run every single minute of the day, but match fitness is totally different. And we had to get that because Singapore League is a good league. You know, it's you know, if you're not fit and you're not ready, then you know you'll get caught, which we were. But I did say that it would take a good 5-6 games for us to get up to just match fitness, which we are now. I'm just honest. That's all. You know, after games. And I was saying the exact same thing. I think people took a step back and was thinking, maybe they were thinking, I don't know, you might tell me that I was being negative, but I was just being honest, I'll be honest with you, and that's the only way I am.
Yeah, we certainly all look forward to your pre-match, post-match thoughts, because if anything, you speak from your heart. And I think a lot of the fans listening in will agree with that, right? Now, you spoke earlier about the Singapore Premier League, perhaps, increasing in quality in your time away. And obviously the Lion City Sailors would dominate the conversation because of the money they brought along. Or Albrecht Niigata, who are always there or thereabouts. Yes. I'm keen to find out, in terms of the other teams, anyone in particular has caught your eye?
Do you know what? Geelang, obviously, with the City Group taking over now, you know, I thought Geelang was strong. Do you know, every team we played, it's not been easy, I promise you now. You know, obviously young people say Young Lions, obviously they're bottom of the league and they're easy to go. Young Lions, obviously it was, we were 2-0 up with 5 minutes to go, and, you know, And they got back to 2-2. If we carried on another 2 or 3 minutes, I think we could have lost the game. I thought, you know, they improved. They've got some good youngsters there, which is great. Great for Singapore, obviously, for the national side. We played, obviously, Hu Gang twice. They've always been tough games. The Lion City Sailors, like you said before, they've got two fantastic players who I think they're the best in the league, Maximilian Listing and Lopez. Oh, I think they're fantastic players. Albrecht, you know, again, Albrecht for me, obviously, where we played everybody, Albrecht have been the best team that we've played, in my opinion. Even their fullbacks, they bomb forward, they cause lots of problems. But all the teams that we've played, I'm not just saying it again, that they've all of them caused us problems. And, you know, don't get wrong, we've made mistakes. You know, we are getting stronger, like you said before, but we make mistakes. And you know, there's Ballester have beaten us twice. And people said, oh, in 2019, you know, we beat them every game, blah, blah, blah. You know, I think we beat them 7-0, I think, in 2019. But we're totally different animal than 2019. They've got some, every team have got players who can hurt you. And I think collectively, all the teams that are in the league, collectively as an actual team, not just individuals, as teams, I think they're stronger than they were in 2019. Maybe, yes, obviously we're not the same team as 2019, but through hard work and everything else, we want to be there. Like I say, not this year, maybe not, but you know, we've got to build on for next year. And another thing that I've said at the start of the season, I want to bring up, which I said to the management when I came back, because they asked me to come back for this season, that I want to bring more youngsters in, because we have a very aging squad. I don't want to call them old boys. I call them old boys, but I don't want to call them old boys. I'll give them a lot of stick, to be honest with you, Roshan. Bit of fun. But, you know, we have players at 35, 36, and we just want to get some youngsters in, which people have said to me, you know, we have still got some older players in. Yes, we have to, because we haven't got enough youngsters to come. I can't just go, bang, let's play 16, 17-year-old kids straight at once, because that won't be fair on them. That won't be fair on the league. And it won't be fair on us. But I'm drip feeding young players in now and again to play in the single Premier League, similar to what I've done in Kimi in 2019. Kimi was very raw in 2019, but look at him now, he's blossoming into a very, very good footballer. So if I can do that and get four or five youngsters in this year, another four or five next year, and just drip feed them in for the future I'm talking about, then that'll be really important. And it's important for the Brunei national team, because if you look at it, you know, we as a national side, we're not strong, but it comes from the bottom. It comes from the youth side of it at DPMM, that we've got to keep producing these young players, because like I said, we have got some older players. But I've got to say, Roshan, that the older players, they say they're 35, but honestly they act like they're 20. Honestly, they're incredible, and I love my players. I love every single one of them, because they've got massive hearts, absolutely massive hearts, and they give me everything every single game. I get frustrated like we all do, because we're on every game, but they give me absolutely everything. And like I say, the 35, 36-year-olds are like 21-year-old kids. They're unbelievably fit, but that could be because of Brunei is such a laid-back country.
Yeah, I certainly can attest to some of your older players, shall we say, just running the full length of 90 minutes against the Lion City Sailors is a perfect example. Now, Adrian, yes, you spoke about a variety of things there. First things first, you spoke about the Singapore Premier League being better. Honestly, it's quite refreshing to hear good things about Singapore football, because that's not exactly the headlines at this point, but we'll jump into that maybe slightly later in the conversation.
Yes, no.
Firstly, though, sticking to Brunei, you've mentioned time and again, consolidation, stabilization, that's what these couple of years are. You talk about bringing the youth in. But in terms of, from a coaching perspective, are there any other markers you look out for in that team, apart from just rejuvenation?
Well, first thing first, winning games. You know, we're all in the game of football to win games. You know, my supporters want to win games, and I don't care what anyone says. We are winning. We're in the game. This is what it's all about, to get the 3 points. There's a lot to do off the pitch as well. You know, I've got a great management here above me, and His Royal Highness the Crown Prince, who's very good in wanting, you know, that they believe in what I want to do, and they're very, we're all together. We've got a very good coaching staff, and a very good management above. Obviously, this was Royal Highness, the Crown Prince. We're all in it together, and they know that we are. If you look at everything that's happened this year, this season already, Rashaan, has been incredible. And going off piece a little bit, but and people might say, oh, he's saying about the travelling side of it. You know, the travelling, Rashaan, has been incredible. But we, even after Lions City Gate Sailors game, sorry if I keep waffling on here, but I'm just telling you obviously where we are. But after Lions City,
we absolutely love hearing from you. So please carry on.
Yeah, well, we after Lions City's game, there was no flight back to Brunei, so we had to get the bus from Singapore to Kuala Lumpur, then Kuala Lumpur flight to Kuala Lumpur. Sorry. The flight, yeah, from Kuala Lumpur to Brunei. It took us 16 hours to get back to Brunei. And then obviously landed on the Monday. Then we had to fly back to Singapore on the Friday to play on the Saturday. And then obviously this Saturday, sorry, we play Sunday. So we landed early Monday morning. Then we're flying again on Saturday. And it does take it out of you. I'm just the coach, you know, and I'm tired. Maybe Rashaan, you might see, and you'll listen, might say, well, he's an old boy now, you know, he's getting old, that's why. But I promise you, you know, I'm knackered, honestly, on the next day, next couple of days, you are tired. And it does take it out of you, the travelling. And people say, well, it's only hour and 45 minutes, but it's hour and 45 minutes flight, but it's 3 hours before you get on the flight. You've got to wait at the airport, or 2 hours. Then you've got to do the flight. And then you've got to go to the other end, which is an hour and a half. Then you've got to get the bus to the hotel. So it all adds up, you know. And people might say, what is an excuse? Well, it's not an excuse. It's reality. It is reality. Yep. And even, unfortunately, this year, as a group, we're so close. I see these, my players, my children, because my family are back home, and I'm so close to these. And we've had some, you know, young Kimmy after the second game, his father had a heart attack, and he's still in intensive care now. And what he's playing under those circumstances is incredible. You know, he's still in intensive care, and obviously we pray and everything else together, and it's, you know, we all our thoughts and everything else are to his family. But so with young Kimmy, and obviously it hits his family, but it hits us all because we're so close. And unfortunately we've had three or four of the players' close families have passed away that we've dealt with, and it's been incredible. We've had so many obstacles that not playing for 3 years, the travelling, obviously what's happened obviously privately, and it's just, but we're so close, you know, we're so close, and we're getting through it, and like I said, we're getting stronger, but we're very close. And obviously I'm very lucky as a head coach that I've got the management above me that believe in me, His Royal Highness the Crown Prince believe in me, and my coaching staff are fantastic. So yeah, it's very important that we stick together and be as one.
Wow. Everything you just took us through, it just humanizes everything, right? Mm. In terms of, it we does. See these footballers play 90 minutes, their fans will go online, slack a team off for a result, shoot down a player for a bad performance, but they don't realize the human element. I'm not even just talking about the travel in terms of what Hakimi Yazid is going through. It's it's real. And I think that's where...
Even Rashaan, like our kit man, bless him, we woke up, who was it against, forgive me, Tanjib Pagan, woke up, his father had just passed away. And there was no flight for him to go home. You know, I was in tears. You know, and he's not my brother, but we are like brothers, you know, we're so close. And it was, you know, bless him, he didn't come to the game. His father just passed away in the morning of the game. So it was like, you know, people don't see that behind closed doors, do you know what I mean? But he's such a wonderful man, he's honestly. But these little things put things in perspective, you know. And you know, football, even like the pandemic, you know, the pandemic was horrendous for lots of millions of people around the world. So it puts things in perspective, but we still love the game, don't we? You know, we love the game, and you know, like I said, at your very first question, I'm so happy to be back and loving it, and loving every second of it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, especially having gone through the pandemic, it's almost like you miss it a lot more. And then now that you have it, you don't want to let it go, right? Hand on heart. On behalf of the listeners, I hope everybody who's going through trouble at Brunei DPMM comes better for it and eventually it ties over for you.
I don't want to make that such a big thing, but I'm just saying that that's what's been happening. It's been like me and the management, like Ali, who's the management here. We say we can't. What's happening this year? It's incredible. We know what it's. Not to play, as you know, we're very strong at home. We get lots of fans at home, and they get right behind us. And it's a beautiful stadium, grass pitch, etc. And even that, saying that we can only play two games this year in July, which me personally think, I don't think that will happen. I think we'll play every single game away from home. And people don't realise, even just playing, you know, not at home, you know, it's a big thing. And it's like Liverpool. Like everybody I know. Well, in Brunei, so I'm a Liverpool and Man United supporter. So it's like same as Singapore. I'm a Liverpool fan or a Man United fan.
Exactly.
I never heard anyone say they're Ipswich Town fan. Ipswich Town is my team. You see, I haven't heard anybody say they're Ipswich Town fans at the moment, Roshan. But it's like Liverpool playing every single game away from home, obviously in a different country, and it's because obviously we miss our supporters miss us, we miss them. You know, like the last game of 2019, we had over 17,000 people. You know, and that was it would have been a full house. It would have been 28, but we had a massive thunderstorm before. But 17,500, you know, it's you know, obviously our stadium. We love our stadium. We do love our stadium. It's you know they say home sweet home, don't they? but don't like I say you know it's all these things has made us all closer. And it's made us work, I wouldn't say harder, but we've got a very, very, very close bond here, very close bond.
And I can tell just by the way you're speaking, as well as some of the performances that the boys put out, this makes sense now, because recently I heard you in a pre-match refusing to accept that Jalan Besar is your home. I believe the pre-match question was, home form, I think you've won all your points at home or something like that, and you refuse to accept it. Now I completely understand it. It's not just... Yeah. About home comforts, it's about the travel, it's about the fans, it's about that atmosphere. And I had the privilege of commentating at the Hassan Al-Wolkiah Stadium back in 2019. I believe Varankov scored a hat-trick that day, don't quote me for it, but I can understand what you mean in terms of playing at home. Now, let's stick to football in that sense. Yeah. And you've talked often about, we've already explored the topic of this year being a season of consolidation, right? So how much of your time is actively preparing for 2024 then? Is almost this year... extended pre-season. Don't quote me for it, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, Roshan, honestly, no, it's not that. You know, we, like I say, every game that we prepare properly, and I prepare the players properly, and my staff prepare the players properly. We go in every game wanting to win a game. We're not here just to make the numbers up, definitely not. It was the first time on Saturday that I was so... frustrated with my players on Saturday. We lost against Ballester, and I was frustrated because obviously we're conceding goals, and they're, you know, teams not scoring worldy goals against us, I would say. There are a lot of our mistakes, and we're not learning from our mistakes. It was the first time I was really frustrated, and bless the young lady afterwards. I just said a few words that I can't say on here, obviously, because it's a family show, but I it's the first time this season.
We can really bleep it up.
No, I respect you too much. I was so frustrated with them because there's games that we should have won or should have got a result anyway. But the young lady on the interview afterwards, they literally called me 10 seconds after I had a go at my players. And it was like, I need another 10 minutes to cool down. Do you know what I mean? You know, because you just want to win. And I was a little bit frustrated. But it's the first time really on Saturday I was frustrated with the boys. Even though they gave me everything, but they just a silly mistake they've been making, et cetera, et cetera. They give work rate is everything is great. It was the first time I've been frustrated this year. And again, coming, we travel back and we had a training session on Monday. Obviously, we have a chat, and you know, like I say, they're fantastic lads. Honestly, I love them to bits, but we've just got to learn. We've got to learn by our mistakes quicker. We've got some. You know, if you look at Saturday's game, we had young Shafiq, Farhan, young Kimi, the three in midfield, you know, they're the future. They're the future of DPMM. And like I say, and I thought they were fantastic against them on Saturday. And so looking at the positives afterwards, you know, you reassess and look at the video afterwards in the game. It was just that we conceded some silly goals, and that's what we're doing at the moment. But we're not here to make the numbers up, no way. You know, I'd love to really, you know, we're not going to win the league. We know that. You know, I'm not going to sit and go, oh, yeah, we're going to win every game now, Roshan. You know, we're incredible. We're fantastic. We're the best team in the league. You'll be thinking I'm nuts, you know. And it's just that we will get stronger. We're going to make a couple of changes in the transfer window, which we believe will make us a little bit stronger. But again, if we can keep climbing the table, we'll get more positive results. I said after one game, I think I can't remember what game it was. Forgive me, but I said I think we'll upset the top of the table, because I think we could get results against the Geelangs, the Lion City Sailors, and the Albrechtses. You know. Tampines, we can get results against them, and so we could be one of those teams that upset the apple cart up the top there. But again, you know, every single game that I go into and DPM go into is not to draw, not to lose, obviously, and it's to go and get the 3 points, and we will do that to the best of our ability.
Yeah, and I think the fans certainly look forward to a competitive showing from DPMM, especially with the way you're teasing us with the transfers that are incoming. Let's talk about the playing squad a little. On Saturday against Ballestier, one of the eye-catching changes you made was in the goalkeeping position. That seems to be a recurring theme throughout the season, right? We've seen you swap your goalkeepers quite often. What's the thinking behind that? Is that blooding in both players, giving them equal playtime?
No, Roshan, it was a football decision. Just a football decision. Something that, in my opinion, that's an area that we are going to change. And I can tell you now, it's not a problem. And Akmal will be leaving us, and we're going to change him with a goalkeeper from Macedonia called Christian Namavatsky. If I pronounce that wrong, I do apologise. But a goalkeeper from Macedonia, we're going to make a midfield change where Farshad Noor is from Afghanistan, so he's going to come in, and Josef Balic will be leaving us, and so that's their last game on Saturday. So it's just a couple of changes that we made again from 2019, because you've got to remember this is only our second season. My second season, sorry, in the Singapore Premier League, and we're only allowed like three foreign players and one overseas ASEAN player. And my belief is, Roshan, is that me personally, my belief is that I want the core of the side to be strong. That's what I like: a goalkeeper, a defender, a centre half, a centre midfield player, and a centre forward. I see a lot of teams have got like say two defenders and a local goalkeeper. But in my belief, I just want the core of the side to be strong, and it worked obviously in 2019. Hasn't worked at the moment, obviously, with all the obstacles in our way this year. But I do believe we'll get stronger, and hopefully we'll get stronger also.
There you have it. A bit of breaking news from Adrian Pannock himself in terms of transfers. We hope those moves work out for the betterment of the team. We're quite excited by that. And I think it only bodes well in terms of finding your feet and then building from there, right?
Yeah.
Now let's shift the conversation. Sorry, Roshan, after you.
Can I just say, Roshan, with Akmal and Joseph, they've been fantastic for us. You know, it's very difficult to come, as everybody knows, to come to a foreign country, a different culture, a different style of football, different coach, not being with their families. Obviously, that hasn't worked out for those, but I just want to wish them all the very best for the future, because they are very, very, they're top men. They are top men, and I really do wish them all the best for the future. They've been great for me.
I'm sure they've enjoyed their time at DPMM as well. Thank you, Adrian, once again for using our platform to speak to your boys as well as mention the new incomings. We're kind of excited about that. Now, I want to shift the conversation slightly to Singapore football. And you mentioned earlier in terms of various facets of the league, various teams improving over the years. But quite honestly, in recent weeks or recent times at least, the headlines haven't been all that good about Singapore football. And I say that hand on heart as a Singaporean as well. Have you been keeping abreast of what's going on in terms of Singapore football?
Yeah, because obviously the national side, watch the national game, the national team. And I do think, again, it's my opinion. I don't know what you think, Roshan. We've never chat about it now. Not a problem. But I think they should open it up to more foreign players playing, better foreign players playing, obviously. If you look at the money coming into Singapore Premier League, I'm talking about, you know, the sort of Geelang being taken over by the City Group, obviously Lion City Sailors, Albrecht's, Tampines, you know, going down the Young Lions, I said, like this year, look, Young Lions got some good players, so the future looks bright that way. But I think is it five for the Singapore Premier League teams? Because we're four, aren't we? But I think it's one
foreign extra. Players, you mean? It's four, yeah, foreigners.
Four foreigners. So, yeah. You know, Singapore want more youngsters to be involved. So for them to learn, in my opinion, you need better overseas players. And open up like the Premiership does in the English Premier League, in the Italian League, et cetera, et cetera. And I think, and the fans want that as well. They want to see their best players, not the best players in the world, but they want to see better players come into the league. And for me, when that happens, the fans will come in. And when the fans come in, you've got to keep those fans. And that's why, you know, even now, if I was part of the FA, Singapore FA, for example, I'd go to all the local schools in Singapore and I'd give 1,000 to 2,000 tickets free to all the schools, to get all the kids, because the children are the future of the Singapore football, basically. They're the future. So once you've got them children in and their families, or do incentives, not... You know, people might say, oh, it's crazy, 2,000 people. But if you look at some games that I've been involved in, there's been 50 people there. And that's not good. You know, when you've got the television, when you listen to all you can hear is my voice. Obviously, I've got a sound and voice. I shout all the time. You know, that's me. That's just me, because I want us to win and organise, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But you hear my voice. And really, we want all the, you know, will you bring 1,000, 2,000 children free, but as long as they come with an adult, for example. Now, people might say, well, they're going to lose money. Well, really, are they? Well, children want a drink. They want a program, if there's a program. They want food. They'll see good football because they've got some good foreigners there, as well as local players being involved, obviously. And you've got them fans in there, and then it just spreads. It just spreads. And as long as it will take a while. I don't know what, obviously, on the coaching side of it, I don't know what goes on in the Singapore FA or the Singapore Premier League on the local coaches, but that's my opinion on what could make Singapore Premier League better. Open up to, like we say, 1,000, 2,000 children, local children, get better players involved, have no cap on the foreign players, because even when you're, even when, going back to when I played a long time ago, Roshan, but when I played, we had a couple of foreign players come in, and I learned so much from them. You know, as a 15, 16-year-old boy, looking up to, you know, the so-called better players, and it helps you develop, helps you be more professional. And if you're not doing it right, if they're good professionals, they'll take the youngsters to one side and do extra training with them, like they did. I had Steve Bruce. Remember Steve Bruce, the Man United player?
Of course.
When I was at Norwich, I was a 15-year-old boy at Norwich as an apprentice, and he used to take me to one side and, you know, help me do some heading, and, you know, and he's taught me his game, etc. That was before he went to Man United, obviously. But that stuck in my mind. Now, again, I just think that the Singapore Premier League can be better. I'm not putting it down, by the way, because it's a good league, but it can be better by just have no cap on foreign players coming in, because the finances are there, I think. Again, I haven't got a crystal ball in if there is money there or not, but it would make the Singapore Premier League stronger. And then, like I say, when there's no fans around, it's not good on the camera when the camera's going around and there's empty seats everywhere. So, you know, and if say Lion City Sailors, because obviously Lion City Sailors got the money, they got lots of money, and if the stadiums are full, the so-called better players will look, oh, this is a good atmosphere here. And this is, you know, look at Malaysian League, look at Indonesian League, look at the Thailand League. It's full. Now, Singapore Premier League, you know, you've got to speculate to accumulate. And I think that's only my opinion, Roshan. I don't know what you think, but that's what I think, you know. And then youngsters and kids are there, keep them there and then let them enjoy their football. Give them a little flag or something, do you know what I mean? And let them sing, because they make noise. You know, I've had five children, I've got six grandchildren as well, so they make lots of noise in my house. Imagine getting 1,000 or 2,000 kids at football stadiums, you know, and then, you know, and like I say, bring their teachers. The teachers can bring them in tens, groups of tens or whatever. And I think that will just make it all snowball. It will just snowball and snowball. They'll go back to their friends or their families. Go, I want to go again, Dad. Can I go next week? Well, yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's how it goes. It's how it goes, you know. And then you've got to speculate to accumulate.
Yeah, 100%. And just that point about you asking teachers to bring kids in, my wife might not react too kindly to that because it means she might have to work weekends. Oh. No, I'm only kidding. But I agree with you. There must be a bit of a match day experience. Imagine. Exactly. And you spoke initially about how you compared it to Malaysia, Indonesia, Thailand in terms of their leagues and how much fans turn up for their games. Do you think there's then a direct effect in terms of interest as well as the state of the national team, not just the local league, but because the local league is so well supported, therefore the national team does well as well? Do you think there's a direct relation there?
100%, because you're going to get these so-called better players come in to make the Singapore players, who come from Singapore, but they'll be better players. So it's just going to snowball and snowball and snowball. And it's a win-win. It is a win-win, in my opinion. It's only my opinion.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for shedding your thoughts on that. I know you keep adding the asterisks that it's just your opinion, but I think they're entirely valid. And as someone who's a part of the ecosystem, I'm sure the forces that be will take your opinions quite seriously. Now, just final question in terms of... Yeah, after you.
Roshan. Just on, you know, it's if you look at the country, Singapore, it's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful country. You know, that you've got landmarks everywhere. You know, everybody wants to come to Singapore. You know, obviously, I'm talking about me. I'm coming from England, obviously, and everyone's, you know, it's a dream to come to Singapore. You know, I love the Singapore Grand Prix. And if anybody wants, got any spare tickets, let me know, Roshan. I'm desperate for tickets. And I went in 2019, by the way, and I loved it. Because my family, we're big Grand Prix fans, and with Lewis Hamilton. You know, you've got everything here. You know, it's a beautiful national stadium. You know, when that's rocking and rolling, you know, when the noise from that stadium and from the Singapore fans is fantastic, and it just needs to come on. Everybody stick together, work hard together, and just everyone get around the table and say, right, this is what we need, this is what we're going to do, and get the ball rolling. Because I do hear comments and see comments, and that is not very favourable of the Singapore FA. But everybody get together. You know, it's a small country, but it's a beautiful country. Good, fantastic people. Everybody get around a table and sort it out. And there's no point like people. There's one group saying this, and another group over there saying that, another group over there saying that. Get together. You know, it's a beautiful country, and it's a, you know, let's get the Singapore national team rocking and rolling like the lots of Malaysia, lots of Thailand. They're strong teams. They are, you know, Indonesia. You know, because you have a beautiful country here.
Yeah, as it stands, as a Singapore fan myself and Singaporean, proud Singaporean, it seems like a pipe dream, but hopefully one day we do take steps
direction. It's got to start somewhere. You know, it's got to start somewhere, you know, and like I say, it's not bicker over here and bicker over there. Everyone wants, you know, all the Singaporean people, footballing people, want one thing, and that's to have a national side that you can be proud of. And that's all that matters, you know, and that's what you've got to do. You get together and instead of bickering here and there and everywhere, just everybody get together and go from there. You'll have my support anyway, Roshan. You'll have my support anyway.
I'm sure that's music to the listeners' ears as well in terms of how much you care. And in terms of suggestions, I mean, what you're saying is not rocket science, but hopefully those that are listening will take heed of the advice that you're giving, because you do come from a place that you've seen success, you've seen football fine beyond this region alone, right? I have to ask, though, from a DPMM perspective, do you think there's any way DPMM as a team, as an organisation, can contribute to Singapore football in that sense?
I think we are. You know, again, there's a lot of people out there saying, oh, you know, they say, you know, we're from Brunei, we're not Singaporean, but why not have another team come over? I've heard only rumours, Roshan, that there might be two or three teams coming in next year. I don't know how true it is. I've only heard the rumours that might be from Thailand, a team from Thailand coming into the Singapore Premier League, maybe from Malaysia, maybe another local team from Singapore. And that can only be good for the league. And I do believe, you know, when teams come to Brunei and from Singapore and they play in our stadium, they love it because it's atmospheric. The atmosphere is fantastic. The pitch is always very nice. You know, it's, you know, people say that we're not bringing nothing to the league. I think we are, because everybody wants to beat us. Everybody, I don't care what anyone says, because we're from Brunei, we're not Singapore. Everyone wants to beat Hougang, because Albrex. Because they're not from Singapore. You know, I've said before, and people giggle, and I giggle as well. We have conversations that the referees are not always with us, and they're not with us, Roshan. They're not always with us. That's tongue in cheek, by the way. But you know, Singapore. Like I said before, don't moan about it. Just embrace it. Embrace the football. Embrace that what we bring to this. You know. That we hopefully will make Singapore Premier League stronger than it is. And if we can produce younger players and exciting players, I'm sure that Singaporeans would like to see young Brunei players do well in the Singapore Premier League. But obviously not against Singapore teams, mind you. But do you know what I mean? It's good for the competition anyway, for me, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with you. There is a bit of a siege mentality, right? I mean, with all due respect, going up against someone like Brunei or Albrex, it's almost like it becomes a national rivalry more than just rivalry. And I'm sure you feel it on the touchline more than anything else.
And Roshan, I bring it up, don't you worry about it, in my conversations. I bring it up in my team talks. I say, we're Brunei. I said, these are Singapore. We'll have the referee against us, the linesman against us, with the VAR against us. Don't talk about VAR to me either, Roshan. Gee whiz. But that's another story. But that's all tongue. It's all good fun. You know, I bring it up that, you know, we're from Brunei, and you know, it's but it's true that everyone wants to beat us, and everyone wants to beat Albrex. It's like I say, I love it. I absolutely love it. I really do. I'm really enjoying myself.
And trust me, we can tell that you're loving being on the touchline, because before we start the recording, I mentioned how fatigued you look at the end of a match, right? It's almost like you live and breathe the players. Sorry, I just have to quickly ask you, you mentioned the three magical words, VAR. It'd be amiss of me not to score into an open goal like that after you mentioned it. What are your thoughts on
that? I just fallen over, Roshan. In my opinion, for me, VAR is just... when you score a goal, before VAR came, when you score a goal, you had that raw emotion of scoring a goal. That's with the players, with the staff, with the fans, more importantly, with the fans. It was raw emotion when you score a goal. Now, that's took all that raw emotion away, in my opinion. You know, you score a goal and then, is it offside or is it handball or someone done a mistake or something? You've got to wait. One game, we had to wait 6 minutes for it, you know. But... waiting is okay, because they've got to be honest, and you know, got to look and check, blah blah blah, and it is a little bit slow. That's because it's the first time in Singapore, which I understand. But it just takes up raw emotion of scoring that goal, and I think there's going to be a big competition, like the World Cup final or the European the Champions League final. Someone's going to score in the 96th minute, the winner, and everyone's going to go crazy, and then everyone's going to stop. And then, do you know what I mean, Roshan? It takes up raw emotion of that win, of that goal. And that's the biggest thing for me. Line technology is good. Line technology is the best thing. That's been very good, because it's a ball over nine or not, no problem. But I miss just the referees being referees. You know, they're human beings. Let the referee make mistakes. It's great when you go down the pub or you come back on a coach and you say, oh, the referee was not great there, or... you know, he'd done a big mistake, and you know, this is before VAR. Oh, the referee was useless, or you know, this, that, and the other. You know, and that's football. That is football. Everyone has their opinion of football, but I think it's made it harder for referees. I really do, because I think it's made it harder that, you know, even we have VAR now, and they've made you know, even VAR up in television, the referees doing the VAR, they've made mistakes already with VAR. So, you know, I'm one of these people that. Yeah, it's not for me. It's not for me. Just for that one for that raw emotion. You miss that raw emotion of scoring a goal. And then you've got to wait around 2 or 3 minutes, 4 minutes, that if it's a goal or not. And also, we played, forgive me, I think it could have been Ballester, and young Kimmy scored a goal. It went to VAR, and they said he was offside. And then you go back to your hotel, like we went back to the hotel, and you look on the television, and they show the lines, and these the defender's foot has kept Kimmy onside. And I think, well, yeah, they've gone upstairs for like 20 minutes to look at VAR, and they still got it wrong. But do you know what I mean? It's but they'll get it right. But like I say, I want referees to be referee. Let the referees referee it, and they'll make mistakes. We're all human beings. We all make mistakes, and let us just talk about football and just get back to normality a little bit and go from there.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree with you. From a fan perspective, it was nice when it was grey. Now everything's so black or white, right? Clearly there's still errors being made, but in terms of talking points, it's a lot lesser because technology is involved.
That's right, and like I say, and I think it's put more pressure on the referees, you know. And you know, was it a red card or was it not a red card? Well, let that referee do that, make that decision on, you know, let the referees and the officials make the decision in that split second, in that 10 minutes, you know. They speak to each other. They're all mic'd up anyway, I'm not a fan of it. And unfortunately, Rochelle, I've got to say in here, sometimes I do use sometimes bad language sometimes, and I do apologise to everybody that's heard me. But it's so quiet sometimes in the stadiums. But I just get frustrated. Really get frustrated by mostly by VAR, not do the referees. It's just by, you just think VAR. My word, you know, we played one game, and I think it was like, what game was it? I can't remember what it was now. Well, we played 14 minutes of the extra time of the 90. There's a 90 come up. Yeah. They come up 14 minutes. Yeah. And then it went over 40 minutes, went to 16 minutes. And I'm thinking, well, they're listening. They must be watching Qatar, obviously, the World Cup, because they've gone back. And then on Saturday, we played Ballester, and then it went up 4 minutes. We had like 8 subs, obviously lots of stoppages, and then went up 4 minutes. You're thinking, oh, dearie me. You know, it's... it's frustrating, but I think VAR, let the referees referee it. You know, it's a hard enough job anyway, and I think they're making it harder for them. And they do. It's a hard job being a referee and the linesman and the fourth official. Bless them. That's a hard job, the fourth official, because they're not made the decisions. And I'm in their ear, obviously, politely in their ear, Roshan. They get everything from both benches. It's not just like one side. They get it from both benches. And then they get the fourth official, get it from the fans as well, don't they? And it's the men in the middle, but mostly it's the people at VAR, you know. And but it's just, like I say, Roshan, it's just that raw emotion that I miss, you know, of scoring a goal.
The VAR conversation is one that will continue, not just in Singapore, but in global football, right? But thank you for sharing your thoughts on how it is to live it on the touchline. It's been fascinating. Now, Adrian, time truly flies when you're having fun, because we've been at this for almost an hour now. So I have to ask one final question. Take your time to tell us anything you feel. You've been at the helm since 2018, 2019. One title, one pandemic later. What's on Adrian Pennock's radar for the rest of the couple of years? What's in the pipeline?
Well, I live for today, Roshan. That's how I live. I live for today. I don't worry about tomorrow. I'm one of these people that tomorrow will come, hopefully. I just live for today. I'm enjoying my football. I'm enjoying DPMM. I'm enjoying Singapore Premier League. I miss my family, mind you. I miss my family and my wife. I've got a fantastic wife and beautiful children and grandchildren back home in England. So I'm very lucky and blessed on that. But I'm one of these people that what will be, you know. Like I say, I live for today and I don't worry about tomorrow. And that's a promise. And that's how I am. And that's how I live my life, really. I treat people how I want to be treated myself. If you respect people and give them everything, you know, respect everybody is like I respect them, and hopefully they'll respect me back.
Wow. Adrian, has been absolutely fascinating. I came into this conversation knowing it's going to be an absolutely enthralling one, and you've lived up to the billing entirely. Adrian Pennock, on behalf of the listeners, we thank you so much for your insights today.
Oh, bless you. Thank you very much. And say thank you to everybody listening, and let's hope that you know, we can get more wins, but obviously not the Singaporeans. The Singaporeans wouldn't like us winning many, but thank you very much. And I really appreciate you asking me to come on your show.
And on behalf of the Final Whistle, we wish Brunei DPMM every success for the rest of the season. Listeners, if you've enjoyed the episode, be sure to keep the conversation going in our Telegram channel and subscribe to YouTube, because that's the only way you can show us support, show Singapore football some support. Till then, it's Ziaul Raushan signing off. I'll see you on the next episode.